Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. If this net... Oh, my God, the audio is good. Okay. If are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Oh, nothing heard. That's a great thing. Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. This is a very uncommon net. We'd like you to get engaged in a conversation. It's a net about amateur radio, electronics, computing, telecommunications, natural phenomena that support our hobby, the activities we do in our hobby, the good we do, the frustrations we have. You can tell stories. You can ask questions. You can post stuff for swap shop or for sale. All those things. In fact, you can check in and have none of those things in mind, just other than to let us know you're there. And it would be very helpful if you would let us know that you're there, so that we can kind of target the net to your needs, even if you don't anticipate participation, other than to check in. It's very, very helpful for us. What's really cool about this net is that you don't need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. That's available to all radio amateurs, no matter where they're licensed, as long as they're licensed to operate in the 2-meter band. The repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey. Has roughly 60 to 70 mile coverage, depending on directions, and in certain directions even more, and works extraordinarily well. It's also accessible via Echolink at K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L, as in Lima. And hopefully, you'll check in that way if you have the opportunity. I'm using a new radio tonight. I'm using an Anytone AT5888UV. I can tell you that I like the way it sounds, both on receive and transmit, from what I can tell. I look forward to hearing your story on it, too. It's a very, very fine transceiver, and the Chinese have really made a breakthrough in dual-band, simultaneous receive, cross-band repeat type technology, and the price point is really kind of amazing. I'm also going to talk a little bit about mobile rig mounting and installation tonight, because there's really some interesting aspects to the radios I'm seeing on the market, and I'd like to share that with you as well. But first, we're going to ask you to check in with your questions, your comments, for sale or swap items, or you can say none of the above. The way you do this is we'll do this in an orderly manner by call sign group. We'll even check on the echo link at some point. But you check in with your call sign, your name, and just indicate to us whether or not you are going to have a question, comments. Comments are like stories you want to tell, or announcements you want to make, whatever. And then, of course, a for sale or swap item. Or none of the above. As I said, even if you don't have any of those things to offer, feel free to jump in and let us know you're there. Alrighty, with no further ado, let's go to the W-2s. We haven't started with the W-2s in a while. Please call K2BAR with your questions, comments, for sale or swap items, or indicate that none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
W-2JEK with a comment.
W2NPR, Hector, no comments, no questions.
Okay, Don, Hector, I got you both. Don, you said you had a question, or no, a comment for the net?
Correct.
Okay, very good, Don, and I got you, Hector, that with nothing in particular other than you're going to join us for the conversation in some level. That's excellent. Any other whiskey twos?
W-E-2-R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
evening, Charlie. You got a little snap, crackle, pop. Gotta get you an antenna. Can I make you a rigid J-pole or something and maybe give you 25 feet of coax so you can put that antenna outside somewhere? Would that help you?
I have plenty of antennas. I just have to put them up.
Okay, bud. Hint, hint. I mean, your audio is unbelievable. You got such a snap, crackles, and pops on your signal, though. I think it's just because of the way it's set up. But man, you would be just dynamite with just straight, just leveling off that snap, crackly, pop stuff. Because you're awesome, is what I'm trying to say. Alrighty. And good evening, Charlie. Any other whiskey twos? Any whiskeys, period. Okay, let's go to the Novembers.
10-2 AM. No questions.
Oh, my Lord, Noel. All right. Maybe I'll ask you to comment, ask you later to provide a comment about how your new iPhone's working. You sound good overall, though. Worry about some of that snap, crackle, pop I heard on Charlie. I was also hearing it on you. I wonder if anyone's hearing it on me, because I know I'm pretty strong as a repeater. Kind of curious. But anyway. All right, any other Novembers?
And two NBR.
Good evening. Questions, comments, confusions for Sailor Swap?
The only comment I have is, I have an antique radio here. It's an old Drake Model 2A receiver, and it needs a 6BC6 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I would be willing, once I get that 6BC6 out of antique radio supply out west, and if the radio works, I'd be willing to sell it for a very reasonable price if anybody is interested in it. It would make an ideal receiver in case anybody would like to listen to WWV or something like that. In order to learn the code. I know the code isn't required anymore, but there are some people around who still want to learn it anyway. And with that in mind, I would like to pass it on to somebody who could use it instead of putting it in the junk pile. So anyway, Gordon, I also wanted to pass on my congratulations to the people who organized the luncheon a week ago Sunday. And I say how much I enjoyed that. So, Gordon, back to you. And to NPR.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious which luncheon this was, but I didn't get to it. I know a bunch of Barra guys went to lunch, but I'm not sure what that was about and where that came from. But that's awesome. Good. Very good. Any other November stations we're checking in? Okay, let's go to the Alpha stations. Okay, we are Alpha-less. All right, next would be the Kilos. Any Kilos?
2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. One question, and John meant the brunch, which you were at.
Oh. Duh. I heard there was a Barra thing, too, or I'm not sure what. But okay, Howie, very good. So, Howie, you have a question later for the net?
I do.
Outstanding. All right. Very, very good. And let's see, any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta Kilo November. And I have a question about Pit Night.
Okay, and your name, sir?
I'm sorry, my name is Kurt, and I'm in Pequannock.
Good, Kurt. It's going to take me a couple of times before I get it into my dense little head. But thank you, I got your question noted. Any other Kilos? Boy, I don't know who that is. Boy, you're really, really just not hacking it.
Okay, we listen. We're not going to bother you guys. 82 DK, listening.
Oh, that's fine, Gary, is it? KD2DEK. Yeah, you have to watch where you are. But yeah, okay, do you have questions or comments or for sailor swap for the night?
We're going to listen in the middle of figuring out the Ripbox programming for a max track.
Okay. Very good. I'm kind of curious as to what kind of computer you ended up having to use to run that. I know sometimes their performance is a function of how slow an old computer you can find and what operating system you can put it on. Any other kilos?
KC2 UNH, Paul, Arlington Park, one question.
Good evening, Paul. Gotcha. Very, very good. And good evening to you. Any other kilos?
KD2CRB, Sue, here in New Milford. One question regarding G-Star.
Outstanding. Can help you with that. Very good, Sue. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos? Okay, how about any other call signs other than on Echolink? I'll get to Echolink next, I promise. But anybody else? All righty. So any stations on Echolink tonight? Okie dokie. Well, then let's get to it. I hope I did this right. John, I think you had a comment. We'll get to you first. W2JEK, K2BAR, WTTTT.
Very good, Gordon. K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Just announcing that Barra will be running a test session tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Westwood Ridge, Westwood Regional High School, 701 Ridgewood Road in the Township of Washington. Again, that'll be 7 p.m. Unless there's some questions, back to net,
W2JK. Very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don about the upcoming test sessions, testing, licensing, studying, any of that kind of stuff in general? Please call. Alrighty, I think we're good. So we're going to take a minute here and just ask Don. You've got a pretty good ear for things. How do you like the audio from this radio?
It sounds good, Gordon. It sounds good. Is this a mobile radio or is this a handy talkie?
It's a mobile radio. I'm going to take some other people's questions first, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about this radio tonight. I'll give you a hint. With just about every accessory you'd ever want, including the programming cable, the remote head, because it does have a removable front and a few other things. It's got a few other unusual things we'll talk about in a minute, but I think $280-odd at Advanced Specialties, and other people have sold the radio for less, but they may or may not include all the accessories. So really kind of interesting how that all worked, and we can talk about it more. But I got to tell you, it's truly an amazing little radio. I'm, pleased, to say the least. And I didn't think I would be as much as I turned out to be. But it's good. We'll talk more later about it. Anyway, Ben, did you want to say any more about licensing, testing, et cetera?
No, that's all for now, Gordon, unless somebody comes up with any questions for me. Back to that, W2JK.
Very good, Tom. One quick question for you, actually. Which question pool for which license class expires at the end of June and is replaced by a new one on July 1st? Can you refresh our memory for which class is up for that transition this year?
I have to look in my book. There's a year that skips in there. We just did the extra class this past year. I think we're going to have a skip year, and then we'll go with, let's say in 2014 we may have a new tech or something. I forget just how the I think that's the sequence, tech, then general, then extra, then it's going to be you. That's the way it works. I'll check my book and then you go on to net. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, if you can pipe in later with that, that might be helpful just to verify that, because I know virtually every year, and, you know, we get this one license class has to get a new book or another, so, and it's always July 1st is the start of the new book. But as you said, the fourth year is a skip year, so let's, it might be useful to square that away. But anyway, very, very good. Alrighty, our next, comment was from N2NBR. John, what tube did you think you needed for your Drake 2A receiver? And those are neat receivers.
Yeah, they are. Thank you, Gordon. It comes with a Q multiplier, a combination Q multiplier and speaker. Audio on it is terrific. As, you know, all Drake tube-based audio was in those days. And now that I'm guessing it's a 6B-something in the family, and since I don't know what it is, I have it written down somewhere in my reference library here, also known as a junk pile. And so I can't really tell you exactly what it is. I don't want to, you know, have anybody go looking for it either, you know, in case it happened to be in their junk pile, until I know exactly what tube it is. It might be a bunch of dried up capacitors too. The radio hasn't been fired up until about 3 weeks ago, for some 20 years. So, and it's great sideband. You have to be, you know, it's one of those, it has a crystal, a row of crystals that you can enables you to put almost any frequency in the ham bands in there by virtue of choosing a crystal that enables the system to cover that particular group of frequencies. And that's one of the things I loved about it when I bought it from Harrison Radio in Radio Row in downtown New York many years ago. And its twin was an ICO CW transmitter, which enabled me to, put a hand on the code.
Yeah, what'd you use for a VFO on the ICO?
Quite a nice little gadget until a friend of mine. Once I got past the code test in those days, I sold the transmitter and kept the receiver. So, and by the way, the audio on your new rig there, Gordon, sounds terrific to me. So my compliments to it. One of the ways I compare audio is to other transceivers, that I put on the air or hear on the air. And this one happens to be, just for your information, this one happens to be the Kenwood V71. And it has a condenser mic. And right now I'm putting out around 50 watts or so. And I probably don't have to be up that high. And also, I don't hear any Rice Krispies on your signal, and I was wondering if you hear any on mine. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, there's a little bit, but thank you for the report. You have a little bit, but, you know, it's not consistent. It's not like what you're hearing with others where it's a little more consistent, but certainly not objectionable on anybody's part here. So what did you use for a VFO on your ICO, what is it, a 740-something transmitter?
I think it was a 720-something or other. I'll be darned if I can remember what the heck it was. 723 seems to be the number that's yelling at me. I'm trying to remember how the rules went with that thing. I think it was rockbound. It was a ICO kit that I bought assembled, because that was the only way I could. Harrison Radio or wherever I got it from, pretty sure it was Harrison. That was the last one they had, so I had no choice. I was really wanting to put one together myself just to, you know what the inside of it looked like and felt like. But I'm pretty sure it was a rockbound unit all the way. You just had to pick out, explain to everybody that you talked to on the air that you were a lid and that you couldn't change frequencies, and that was that.
I remember those days well. All right, very good. Does anybody have any comments about those bygone days of crystal controlled transmitters and CW and AM transmitters? I think the 723 actually did AM too, but maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, very good. And but the 2A was 2A was a better receiver than the 723 was the transmitter. I'll leave it at that. But anybody have any thoughts that I want to share?
82EIR.
Okay, Mr. Howie.
K2EIR. By the way, I'm on a TR2500 handy talkie with a Opio mount, so if I am staticky, let me know and I'll put on a bigger rig. I just wanted to recollect, I think the ICO 720 was the small little cube radio. It was a small cube, and they had a larger model that was, you know, more horizontal. the horizontal dimension was larger, and I think the 720, the cubicle little radio CW, was like 50 watts, and the larger brother was 75, possibly 100, and it had one of the impetuses for me getting my license was listening to local hams on 40 meters, because they'd often get on 40 and just talk across the Bronx. Using that, one of the fellows I used to listen to had that larger ICO, and that might have been the 740. I don't remember the number. So I just wanted to have that recollection. And I will throw in for a moment, let me let this reset, my own thing, since John mentioned Harrison Radio and Radio Row, that my novice transmitter was a an open box on Radio Row. Some surplus vendor was selling it, and I took a chance. I bought it for $19.95, and everything in it was there. It was brand new, of course, as a kit. You had to put it together. And that was my first first HF transmitter. First I used an SX110 with it, and then I used the Drake 2B. And I still had the 2B and the 2BQ and extra crystals, and it's sitting in a box here waiting for me to put it on eBay. So if anybody really is interested in it, they consider this swap and shop, contact me. Back to you, Gordon, and I'll leave my question for later. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Yeah, very good, Howie. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, my first crystal controlled, pardon, my first HF station transmitter and receiver was an old Heathkit Mohawk receiver and a Marauder transmitter, which was single sideband CW and I believe AM. That was pretty cool, so I was very lucky that way. Before that, I had a bunch of receivers. I had an NC33 before I was a ham, national. I got access to my high school's HRO60 with all the plugins. They were kind of neat. And we had no transmitters that were worth a damn we had no transmitters worth a damn. We had a Bandmaster, Harvey Wells Bandmaster Deluxe, 160 through 2 meters, and if you worked it right, you could get on all of those bands and everything in between simultaneously, so it was pretty horrendous. Alrighty, enough of that for now, Howie. I think we'll move on. Okie doke.
And this is here, K2EIR.
John, you have any more on your end, N2NBR, K2BAR?
That's about all I can think of for now, Gordon. So I'll just listen, maybe something else will pop into my civ-like brain these days. W2TTT, this is N2NBR.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I'm really, really glad I don't have to go neutralize 6146s anymore. Good Lord. Anyway. Not that. Alrighty. Kurt, KD2DKN. What's your pleasure, sir? Keep the transmission short just in case we have a qualitative issue. We have to kind of reposition you a little bit, okay?
K2BAR, KD2DKN. excuse me, my question is on kit night. I have a kit that I got and I want to put it together. I'm certainly willing to do it here, but if I can come there and hang out, I just was wondering the size of the kit. Should I be bringing my soldering iron and solder and all that good stuff too?
Absolutely, and you are a Barra member, so let me emphasize that up to $100 a year, the club will match your expense 50-50, as long as you build a substantial amount of that kit at one or more kit night sessions, so keep that in mind as well. What do you have in mind, Kurt?
I picked up this kit that basically goes between your radio. I got it to put onto my HT, but I guess I could adapt it to my, I'm going to be getting, hopefully, if I win the auction, getting a dual-band mobile. But it goes between the radio and the computer. It's kind of not really a sound. I guess it's a sound card interface. A few transistors, a few transformers, resistors, all that good stuff. Very simple kit.
Yeah, I know them well. Okay. So is it a skip-teller interface or is it one of the other ones?
Hold on. Let me look at exactly what it is. It's over here.
Now let me elaborate a little bit. So what we're talking about here is something that plugs up between your microphone and your speaker inputs of your laptop, and the other side plugs into your microphone and your speaker, but basically crisscrossing so that you can interface your radio to your sound interface of your laptop. That allows you to do digital modes out your sound card interface, and really is slick stuff. On FM, of course, you can set that up pretty easily, and some modes work really, really well there. MT63 with a 2000 Hertz bandwidth is particularly popular, using FL-Digi and other modes, or other packages. And then, of course, there's on HF, you set it up on sideband, and you then transmit your digital stuff that way. You tend to use narrower bandwidth there. And it works very, very well. Run PSK31 or some of the other really cool narrow band modes. That would be what I'd recommend. So that's what this does for you. These interfaces cost around $10 and are amazingly simple to build. So, Kurt, why don't you tell us what you're doing?
Well, this one is from Unified Microsystems, called the SCI-6 Sound Card Interface Kit. And it basically says the same kind of stuff you just said. It's for a lot of, you can use FL-Digi to do a lot of the digital modes. The first thing I'm going to do is obviously hook it to my laptop. But the second thing I'm going to do, once I get that working, and since I'm a Linux person on my laptop, it's not as horrible of a transition. I have a Raspberry Pi that's been sitting here wanting to do something and thinking about hooking it to that, and I joined my Township Racies group, and I'm also going to try and join Aries too once they get back to me, and maybe use it for some of that stuff. So it's all good. Over.
N2OEL timeout.
Here by one.
It lies.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It never let me in, so I went to the HT, and it just finally said timeout. So I said, it lies, N2OEL.
You know, maybe... Well, I don't know. Okay, so that was you on Echolink, huh?
Yes, but it told me it couldn't sign in. So therefore, I was not in on Echolink, even though it thought I was there. So it just timed out, which is interesting.
Okay. Very, very good. I heard it double with one of the guys before about three times, so it may be looking for something else that... confirm that it actually got in, you know, by hearing audio coming back, and that could have been the problem, so who knows. Alrighty, not a worry, but you're here. Alright, let me get, so Kurt, the other thing I mentioned was that they often have push-to-talk done through a virtual or a physical RS-232 port. And they'll use one of the control leads, and if it's a USB to serial or virtual serial, then they have to kind of like synthesize it with a driver and, you know, pretend it's RTS or DTR or whatever as the push-to-talk line. But in point of fact, the Skip-Teller interface does a derived Vox. If you have enough audio, it runs it through a voltage doubler and then uses it to trigger a transistor. But you need to make sure that you have enough audio to come out and do that, because unfortunately it doesn't, you know, if you don't have enough audio, you won't have enough voltage, even with the doubler, to bias the transistor to ground, to conduct, if you will, and create a VTT. There's another interface that just has a hard RS-232. I got one of those as well. In fact, Noel gave me that reference. I forget what the model is, but I have a couple of those. They all work. Let me just say this. A lot of handy talkies, the Kenwoods and the Chinese knockoffs of Kenwoods, the Biaofengs and the Wushans, tend to have a Vox function. The UB5R and the, what was it, the Wushan KG, whatever, blah, 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 whatever it is. KG, UVD, 1P, and that whole series, the 2, 3, and 6, they have a Vox function. And I can tell you, it works great. So all you're doing there is just isolating the audio in and out, and you don't have to worry about PTT at all. You're limited to 5 watts, but it works pretty well. I haven't explored this radio well enough, and I will when one of you guys are talking, to see if this Chinese transceiver, this mobile transceiver, has a Vox function, but that would be very cool if it did, but I'm betting it doesn't. But anyway, that's another function that you don't have to worry about PTT. So let's throw it to Kurt first, and we'll send it around.
I don't know if you heard me before, because seems like there's a bit of kerfuffle. Noel was having a little trouble with Echolink. But after I get it working with the PC, with the laptop, I want to, I have a Raspberry Pi single board, you know, Linux computer, one of those $39 jobbers. It's, I played with it a bit when I initially got it, but it's been dying for something to do, so I was thinking about getting FO Digi to run on that and seeing what I can do with Aries and Racies with the HT and the Raspberry Pi and being able to send CW or RIDI or whatever is needed at that time. thought that'd be a cool project too.
Yeah, actually, let me challenge you with a couple of ideas. One is you can use it standalone, right? You just put a HDMI monitor on it. You get a small 12-volt HDMI monitor. Or if you're like me, you have a small 12-volt, 9-inch, composite video monitor, / TV, digital TV. That works great too. That works just fine as a local computer to run FLDigi. But let me give you something else to think about. There's a virtual network computing or VNC server built into the kernel of the common builds that are used for the Raspberry Pi. And what I was thinking of doing was in an ops center having a number of Raspberry Pi-based interfaces to different radios, and then you just remotely log into one of them across a LAN, depending on what band you wanted to cover. Let's say you wanted one on a VHF intercom, one on a UHF intercom, one on HF, perhaps, running FLDigi. I think that would be just a hoot. You could actually have them from the same computer on different bands and not even have to physically use coax. You could remote the whole thing at the end of either a Wi-Fi connection or at the end of an Ethernet connection. So consider that. Let me see. Anybody else have any comments about that before I hand it back to Kurt?
Casey, so you're on here?
Somehow I knew you'd take that date. Good ball.
Yeah, it's sort of along the same sort of things I'm doing. The sticking that on the end of a LAN just opens up a whole hoot of security questions, which some people are just going to ignore, other people are just going to go all over. So it's just one you need to consider. I think my next thing is going to be probably Raspberry Pi CIV interface to see if I can get some sort of rudimentary control off that. Kurt, I'll drop you an email and we'll get together and we'll see what we can do. KT2, you're ahead back to that.
That's wonderful, Paul. Very good. Copy me on that if you would, number one. Number two, I'm well aware of that. But if you run the VNC server, it requires security access, so it runs a secure pipe between the client and the server. And there's no reason why you couldn't run multiple clients on the same box remotely and talk to multiple Raspberry Pis, so you can save yourself all the coax. Consider this. Some of us are talking about HSMM mesh, right, as another networking project. And I think a VNC-based FLDigi server for one or more channels on the mesh network would be just fantastic. Somebody rolls up with HSMM, and all you have to do is they seamlessly fold into the network, and then you just access that resource in order to get messages off the out of the incident. You know, I think that'd be just really cool.
V2DKN. The only thing you got to be, and because that's it used to be my day job. Now I do web programming and server side programming. But as long as you're doing like SSH to these boxes when you're using VNC, you're more covered. You definitely don't want to enable direct access to VNC because it's horribly insecure. But it's something that with some thought can be certainly worked out. But I'm gonna pass it back to the net and let somebody else have a turn, I think. But send me emails. I love emails. I'd love to talk to you guys. Back to the net.
Yeah, well, one of the things about the HSMM mesh is that everybody who's on that is already pre-authenticated as a ham. So, it's if you will, a trusted server environment, a trusted network system kind of environment. So, I understand your underlying security questions, but there are other ways of also dealing with that, and Secure Shell is one, but the other one is just basically not having access to the general internet is another. You don't do any port forwarding from the general internet. You're not going to have too many problems, and if you do, think about how you want to secure it if you're going to provide that. But a closed LAN environment would be wonderful. I mean, I'm thinking like within a vehicle and then HSMM between vehicles and things like that. And that way you can pool all your resources when you pull up into a parking lot. Just a thought. Yeah, Hoot, by the way, for field day, send your radiogram via an HSMM net, your ham-based HSMM net, and then out on FLDigi from a FLDigi server. That'd be a hoot and a half. Paul, you have anything more you want to add? Was that you, Kurt?
No, it was not.
Okay, who is at another station trying to break in? You're welcome. Okay, Art, I got your KC2REN in Sukasana, and then you dropped away again.
Romeo Echo November.
Okay, that's corrected. Whiskey 2, Radio Echo November. Trying to keep your transmission short, Art, because we're not sure how strong you were. That last transmission was very good. So, what's your question or your comment? Tango at AWRL.net, Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 at AWRL.net, and I will get you those coordinates, okay? Yeah, you're going to see things that look like large mobile rigs and handy talkies. But I got to tell you, from most applications, the handy talkie is just fine. And it's really kind of neat. So if you have broadband in your apartment, you could set it up on a base antenna in your attic and drive around town and go back and talk to all sorts of different folks on different reflectors through your own hotspot if you wanted to.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I'll fool around with that and look into it and go from there. Thanks very much. Back to Net.
Very, very good. And I'll give you some details of what I have here. You may wish to emulate that. And, I found that to be overall cheaper than getting a mobile rig. I found that I was able to communicate about 10 to 15 miles with my antenna outside my house, granted. With the handy talkie, the signals were pretty much reciprocal. Whereas, you would probably have something less than that because you'd have an attic antenna, but still that would still be very good. I didn't find that the mobile was all that well worth it. And there's some other things you can do. Some of the folks have put their hotspots on or a thing called a DVAP, which is kind of like a mini height hotspot using a USB gizmo. They plug them into a laptop, and then they plug the laptop into the Internet, or they put it on a cellular connection onto the Internet. Sometimes the cellular connection can be a little ratty, but because they don't have guaranteed bit rate service, it's all best effort on the data side of the wireless network. But the but overall, worked pretty well. A couple of years ago, somebody did that in his own car and operated with like 10 milliwatts from a handy talkie, driving all the way up and down the East Coast from Montreal to Florida and back. And ZE2HOT, Nick, did that, and he actually had GPS positioning on it, so we knew exactly where he was at all times. It was hysterical. And we knew where there were gaps in the cell coverage by where he couldn't access. It was really, really telling. So when he crossed into the United States, he changed over to AT&T. I actually used that map and made my political point about interface or interstate coverage at the time. This goes back 3 or 4 years ago, but it was cute. I guess 3 years ago it was. But anyway, so anybody else have any comments about D-Star? Okay, one thing I just want to mention is you can send data with your voice transmissions. You can also send your position. If you have one of those GPS units built into your speaker mic or into your radio, you'll every time you key up, not only will you ID automatically in digital mode without even having to articulate your call sign, but you'll also be beaconing your position, which is really, really cool. So very, very neat stuff. And you can turn it off if you don't want to, and by hitting a button on the top of the GPS unit. It also helps you save battery, although I've never found that to be a problem. Anything more, Mr. Stewart? Pardon me,
No, that's about it. I just want to say that the rig that you're using right now is coming in very clear. So I might email you since I'm not near any paper or pen. And just find out the details of what you're transmitting on right now. But that's about it. Thank you. Have a good evening.
I'm going to hand out everybody else's questions, and I will talk more about that. I got a couple of more people. I got Paul and Howie, I think we got. And then anybody else who wants to add questions, we'll handle them. And then I'll talk about the Anytone radio. Alrighty. I also want to talk about mobile rigs in general. I found out a few interesting things that that, especially mechanically, which you might want to consider knowing about. Because I kind of tripped over it accidentally recently. Alrighty. Let's see. Thank you, Stu. Paul, I'm going to go to you in a second. I'm just going to take a roster for anybody who's going to follow Howie. You're going to go next, and then Howie, and then whoever else, and then me. So, are there any stations you'd like to come into the net, post a question, a comment, just let us know you're there. Have a swap and shop item. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K9GTM.
Hey, K9GTM, GTM, pardon me. How are you, Sean? Are you just checking in to make us aware of your happy presence on your way home or whatever you're doing?
Actually, I'm sitting on the couch on my new HT that I got. I don't know how it sounds.
Really, really clear. What is it?
An ICOM ID51 Alpha.
Does the 51 do D-Star as well?
Affirmative. It does D-Star. It has a lot of nice features in it. It has the integrated GPS. From the factory, it has every single D-Star repeater all over the world.
Yeah, outstanding. Yeah, only on the... It doesn't do the other nets, right? The other D-Star format nets, but only the real ICOM compatible D-Star stuff, right?
Affirmative. The hotspots and stuff you have to still put in yourself, like the like these repeaters, you like the regular FM repeaters. But what is nice too is with the GPS, you can actually set it up that it'll hit the nearest repeater and give you all the information. So if you're like out of the state somewhere, there's a repeater nearby, you just put it in and just find nearest repeater.
That's really neat. What did that package cost you, if I may ask?
$600.
Yeah, very nice. Very, very nice. That's slick. Yeah, the only concern I had about it was the embedded GPS and the handy-talkie as opposed to having the speaker mic, but we've had situations where, you know, I want the radio in one place and I want the speaker mic in another, and I want that GPS, you know, exposed to the sky, you know. But it's still, that's a slick, slick radio. Very good. Thank you, Sean, for adding that. Did you want to say anything more? Does anybody have any questions for Sean? That's the new ICOM ID51A. Very, very nice. Dual band, FM, and D-Star. Embedded D-Star database, and then you add your own hotspots and DBATs and stuff like that. And as Sean mentioned, it even has a feature to find the local repeater based on GPS readings. That's pretty cool. Alrighty. Thank you, Sean. K9GTM, K2BAR. Any other check-ins before we move on?
Test it out. See, I was working. I was going to get the 92A and get the speaker mic with the GPS, but I was just better off getting this one with the extra features that it comes with.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, different style of operating, but I really like it. I don't, you know, when I travel, I just bang in the few I want to bang in and be done with it, but I can think of a few times when I was on the interstate, it would be kind of cool. I would find that to be a better feature personally for a mobile rig, but that's just me, but I'm sure that's coming. That's going to be a popular feature. Win, lose, or draw, that's going to be a very popular feature. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions for Sean or comments for Sean? Okay. And, Sue, any more comments from you on the subject of D-Star before we move on?
No, that's about it. KD2CRP.
sending it back to Nick.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you both for that. That was good insight.